The song that they just sang has the Greek name Phos Hilaron, holy, heavenly light, joyous light. It is one of the oldest hymns that we have. The very oldest is, that is not a psalm, is Kyrie Eleison. But this is one of the oldest, and it is often sung, or has traditionally been sung, part of a baptism liturgy. And there are, over centuries, literally thousands of versions of it. And that's a modern one. Let us pray. Holy One, may we find in the words of story today new life. May we find wisdom in my words or in spite of them. Amen. Baptism. It was a beginning. Beneath the water, the current pulled and tugged, cool on skin, touching every part as though there were joy in the touching. And the tunic waved as if it would go with the waves, and feet lifted from the riverbed, borne upwards, and light washed down through water and silt, and closed eyes, and heart lifted to meet the light, and hands pulled upwards, and feet touched earth again, and as face found air, and inspiration began again, there was the sound of the rush of falling water, or lifting wings, and he said, "This is my child, my beloved, who was ever my delight." After Jesus was born, we have only two other stories in the canon of Jesus' life between birth and baptism. The story of the visit of the Magi and the flight across borders to seek refuge in Egypt, that's the first. And then we have a story of Jesus at 13 going to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, getting lost and being found again. There are no canonical stories of his life in between. There are legends. There are rumors and rumors of rumors. There are songs of a visit to England, legends of visits to Rome, and more modern rumors of time studying in the East. But no record. Jesus arrives then unannounced on the banks of the Jordan River. And this story, like so many Bible stories, is a word painting full of symbols that readers are expected to recognize, and 2,000 years later, we don't. References to earlier stories. So here Jesus stands at the bank of the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is one of the most important symbols in Jewish history. The river that the people crossed when the Jews arrived in the Promised Land. It represents before and after. A promise that they would be the people of God and God would be their God. It has another purpose. One theologian describes the Jordan River as the hollow deck of the stories of the Israelites. And if you're not a Trekkie, you can look it up. Things happen at the Jordan that take you out of space and time. Things can be revealed there that are otherwise invisible. Just as the Israelites started a new life after crossing the Jordan, people who cross the Jordan are thought to start new lives. And all Jews who would read this story or hear this story would have in their minds the multiple meanings of the Jordan River. And you can hear that reference in some of the old, old songs, even in English. A symbol of heaven in the Promised Land, as if death or the death of a life before a change and the crossing of the river. I don't know how many of you know the song Wayfair and Stranger, but the chorus goes, "I'm only going there to meet my father. I'm only going there no more to Rome. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home." In our word painting, Jesus stands before John in the middle of the Jordan River. Now remember that chorus. I'm going there to meet my father. John is standing there dressed in camel hair with a belt around his middle. It's almost the same description as the one given to Elijah in the Bible, in the book of Kings, so long ago, where Elijah is followed by his disciple Elisha. And when they stand by the banks of the Jordan, before the death of Elijah, Elisha asks, "Let your spirit fall on me." And Elijah answers, "You don't know what you're asking. But if you see me taken up to heaven, if you see the heavens open, it will be so." Elijah is considered to be the very first of the prophets and judges of Israel, the greatest prophet. When Jews celebrate Passover, they set a place at the table for Elijah and bring up a chair, just in case, for Elijah will one day return. Jews would know the symbolism of that story, the symbolism of John standing there dressed like that. And the Jews gathered at the river that day knew why they were there in that place and in that way. From the time of the first crossing of the Jordan, Jews celebrated baptism. It was a symbolic way for a person to declare that they were leaving an old life behind, a life of sin or corruption. It was also one of the rituals of conversion, and still is, if a person wanted to become a Jew. Ritual baptism, either in the Jordan or in ritually blessed water, is a part of the process. Christians didn't invent baptism. Jesus participated in baptism and made it part of Christian practice. But it retained much of the same meaning, the symbolism of a new life dedicated to God. So a Jew stands in the middle of the Jordan before a baptizer dressed as Elijah, awaiting the blessing of the Spirit. But the baptizer is family. Jesus' cousin John, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. If you remember the story of the birth, just before the birth of Jesus, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and the child leaps in her womb, recognizing the Christ in Mary. So, cousin. And John says, "What are you doing here?" Now, you know how family questions have multiple layers of meaning and history, and so does this. "What are you doing here?" can be interpreted as a cousin greeting cousin, with all the weight of what, like rivalry, friendship, we don't know. Or remember, we don't know where Jesus has been for 18 years. Maybe John doesn't either. That's what's in the front of the story. It's a ritual question too, though. Even today, we ask a version of that question when people come for baptism. Why are you here? Are you here to celebrate new life in Christ, to renounce sin and evil, to seek knowledge of God and the good of the community? Why are you here? And Jesus says in the translation we read today, it's proper to do this to fulfill all righteousness. But this is also the reminder of yet another story. When the prophet Amos is asked what God requires to be righteous, Amos answers, "To seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God." This is the new life that a person aspires to in baptism, whether then or now. So I'm going to ask you to see the picture in your mind. Here's the Jordan River, where all the things change and lives end and lives begin. Here's the image of the prophet Elijah calling people to repentance and new life. Here is a young man asking the Spirit to fall upon him. And then John takes him by the hand and immerses him in the waters of new life, of rebirth. And he rises, and like Elisha, he sees the heavens open and the dove, the symbol of the Spirit, the symbol of wisdom, says, "This is my child, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Perhaps a better translation is, "Who has been ever my delight." It's a reference to that Isaiah reading we just heard, but it's also a reference to the creation story, not the one in Genesis, the one in Proverbs. In Proverbs, wisdom tells the story of creation. Wisdom describes how she, yes, wisdom is always described as she, was the master architect as a child builds out of blocks. Not exactly. She says, I was the master architect, which is a pun, which also means a child at play. And she says of God, I was ever his delight. So that meaning is there also. And Jesus rises out of the water, and the voice of God says, this is my son, the beloved, who was ever my delight. Then if you keep reading, it speaks about how after this, Jesus was driven into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. In the beginning of the story of Moses' leadership, he's tending sheep and goats, and he sees a burning bush. And in that story, the literal translation is that he was taken behind the wilderness. And then the Israelites wander 40 years to become a new people. And when Elijah is beginning his role, he's also driven into the wilderness, where he finds the still, small voice of God. So here's a story told in about six sentences. Even if you continue with the story in the wilderness, it's about 12. And it contains within it the whole story of the nation of Israel and the children of God. These stories are dense and rich. And it's a sensory story, not just words and not just pictures, not just ideas, right? Camel hair is coarse. There's the coarseness of camel hair. There's the heat of the sun. It has the touch of water, the sense of human beings, river banks, the isolation and hard stones of wilderness, of dust and hunger and thirst. It's a sensory story. It is a story that is true and more than true. The story of the incarnation of God in human form in a way that leaves old life behind and begins anew. It is, we are told, in the simplest and most basic of material things that are the materials of sacrament. Water and oil, bread and wine, baptism and communion. It is in the simplest, most basic of material things that are components of incarnation. Water and earth, bread and wine, milk and blood. The presence of God in human form. It is in the simplest of material things that we incarnate God, in the blessing of water, in the washing of a child, the washing of wounds of another, the washing of sore feet, walking along with a friend. God is incarnate in us in rituals of bread and wine in church, or the rituals of shared meals in community and family, in the offering and sharing of food with the hungry, in the invitation to new life, and in the support for one another when we struggle. It is in the simplest acts of kindness that people are healed. It is in the complex navigation of family and community that simple acts become something more than themselves. That a human being becomes more than they thought they could be. It is rare that great change is made by one great action. Great change is made by the repetition and concretion of small acts of grace over and over. Build character, build relationships, build community, or destroy it. 1,000 small acts of kindness can stand up to great acts of terror, can rebuild after betrayal or destruction. In fact, these are the only things ultimately that can. A story told in about six sentences has been the foundation of life-changing events for millions of people around the world. Small acts of greeting, washing, raising, welcoming. In these small acts, great truths are enacted in our lives. May we remember this as we go. Amen.